Let's try it in the Amplified version. Or, I'm sorry, the New Living Translation. Trying to figure out how far we want to go back here. Verse 24. Thank you. This is coming on the heels. The beginning of John chapter 9 is Jesus entered into the synagogue on this, or he entered into the city on the Sabbath day, saw a man who was blind from his birth, and healed him. And so there's all this debate going on about who's what. Verse 24 says, so for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, give glory to God by telling the truth, because we know Jesus is a sinner. I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see. They're trying to get this guy. They don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. They're in this debate about it. And so they go find this guy who was just healed. And they're trying to lure him into their discussion. Come on, man, just deny it. He says, I love this answer. He goes, listen, I don't know who this guy is. But I know that a few minutes ago I couldn't see. And now I can. So you guys, you can call him whatever you want. But I got my sight. Verse 26, but what did he do? They asked, how did he heal you? Look, the man exclaimed, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know anything about him. Why? That's very strange. The man replied, he healed my eyes, and yet you don't know anything about him. Well, God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Never since the world began has anyone been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do it. You were born in sin, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? Because I would like to. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. He's revealing who he is here. Yes, Lord, the man said, I believe, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I have come to judge the world. I have come to give sight to the blind and to show those who think they see that they are blind. This is Jesus telling a man who he just gave physical sight to, a man blind from birth, that his whole purpose in coming to the earth was to bring sight to the blind. He came, number one, to work physical miracles among men. But then he also throws this spiritual piece in there. I mean, I guess you could tie both of them into spiritual because there's spiritual blindness the Bible talks about. But he throws this second piece in there and says that I've also come to show those who think they can see, people with sight, people with what they believe is spiritual understanding. Because what the point he was getting at was all these folks who were arguing with this blind man and ultimately arguing with Jesus, their whole argument was, well, Moses is our father. Who's your father? Well, God's my father. Well, God was Moses' father. Who do you think you are? There was this spiritual blindness that was upon their eyes. And so what he was saying to the blind man here is, I've got two jobs to do. I've got to bring sight to the blind. There's people physically blind. People who can't see, who need a miracle in their lives to receive sight so they can walk around as a normal human being on a daily basis. But the second piece of that is there's people who are blind spiritually. They think they know truth. They believe that what they're doing is right in the sight of God. Think about this. And he said, I have a responsibility and a job to let those people know that though you think you see, you really don't. You're actually blind. Think about that for a moment in the natural sense. What if I went to Brother Heiner tonight? I said, you see, right? You don't wear glasses, you don't wear contacts, right? You see, you're actually blind. You don't see anything. He's got a smirk on his face like, yeah, you're crazy. Because I am. He sees perfectly fine. At least he believes he sees perfectly fine. And now I'm going to spend, think about how ridiculous this seems to all of us in the room here who have sight and who are watching this encounter. I'm going to spend the next 2, 3, 4, 5 hours trying to convince this very intelligent man that he's actually blind. You really can't see. I don't think you see, but you can't see. We had a discussion at our house on Sunday night with a few folks, nobody mentioned, no names mentioned, on whether lights were orange or white. There was something floating around on the internet for a while whether a dress was black or blue. And some people said it was blue, some people said it was black, some people said the lights in our house were orange, other people said they were white. Attempting to convince somebody that thinks they can see that they can't see is a harder job than giving sight to someone who knows they're blind. I would much rather, as a minister of the gospel, as a believer in Jesus Christ, who the scripture said signs would follow them that believe, I would much rather Bill Lindsay be able to pray for blind people and have faith to believe that God could open their eyes and connect with their faith that God could heal them, than to sit down with someone who thinks they can see and knows truth. Believe me, I've done it. I've sat across the table from people while they told me all these great revelations that God showed them and all these new things and different places God's taken them. My goodness, you talk about spiritual frustration. Feeling like you're talking to a brick wall and there's no way to get around it. You know, the scripture says that if we don't have a love for truth, that God himself would send a strong delusion. We'd believe a lie and be damned. I believe that to be the truth. I believe that God turns people over to a state where they don't know that they can't see. They don't understand that the direction that they're going is not the correct direction. You see, a lot of people, and this is in error, a lot of people pick their direction by the crowd. Well, there's a lot of people walking down this path, so it's got to be the right one. Or I've also heard people say, well, there's a great crowd. There's an incredible gathering, so there's got to be something good going on over there. There's got to be something great happening. And that's the test of whether something's right or wrong. Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way. Hard to find is the way. The path that leads to eternal life. There's not many people, he said, that find that path because it's difficult. I tell you what, I'll never forget the story that Brother Garcia told. Many of you were maybe here on a Wednesday night a few years ago when he talked about, I forget who it was, who was trying to find the mouth of the Columbia River from the Pacific Ocean. Anybody here remember that story? And they floated around for months, not realizing that they were actually just floating around right there in the mouth of the Columbia River because they were looking for something different in their minds than what the reality was. and they ended up abandoning the whole mission, not realizing they were right in the middle of what they were looking for. Jesus said the way that's right isn't the way that's got everybody on it. If the path for your life, the path that you've chosen tonight, you chose it because there's a lot of people on it. And so if there's a lot of people heading the same direction, and that's got to be the direction we're supposed to go, stop and look around. Make sure it's the right path. Because it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Once somebody thinks they're on the right path, to convince them they're on the wrong path. Oh man, it's difficult. But Jesus said this was, he says to this blind man, this is my responsibility. I have to convince people who think they can see that they really can't. Can you jump to Acts, the 26th chapter, please? And I'll just go there myself, though. I don't send you on a wild goose chase. Let's start at verse 8. Acts chapter 26, verse 8. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. This is Paul talking here. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many of the believers in Jerusalem to be sent to prison. And I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. This is Paul telling his testimony. If you go back to Acts chapter 9, when Paul had his encounter on the road to Damascus, do you think it's any coincidence that God physically blinded him so that he could help him to understand his spiritual blindness? Knocks him down, causes him to have to be led, gives him the direction, but then causes him to have to be led by the hand to Cornelius or Ananias, whoever it was. I don't remember who it was in Acts 10. Was it Ananias or Cornelius? That's going to bug me. Ananias commands him where to be led. Led by the hand, not able to walk on his own because he can't see. And then when the scripture says that Ananias began to lay hands on him and pray for him, it was as though scales fell from his eyes and he received the Holy Ghost. And he received, now he's telling in his testimony, his marching orders from God. But do you think it's any coincidence that God had to make him physically blind so he could help him to understand his spiritual blindness? Because he's saying in his own testimony, I was authorized by leading priest. This is the blind leading the blind. I caused many of believers in Jerusalem to be sent to prison. I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them whipped in the synagogues to try to get them to curse Christ. I was so violently opposed to them that I even hounded them in distant cities of foreign lands. He said, I went all over the world. I dispatched people all over the world to harass Christians, and I thought I was doing it in the name of Christ. We're talking about spiritual blindness. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commissioning of the leading priest. About noon, Your Majesty, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to fight against my will. Who are you, sir? I asked, and the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now stand up, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. You are to tell the world about this experience and about other times I will appear to you. And I will protect you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then, after you've convinced them that they can't see, they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. So you have Jesus talking about one of his missions. Then you have this commission, this impartation to Paul in his initial encounter with Christ, saying, I'm sending you out to open the eyes, to bring sight to them, that they can turn from darkness to light. Do you understand that this is our responsibility tonight? We're living in this day and hour where darkness is running rampant, and it's we talked about it last week. It's running crazy in our society. It's leaking into the church. It's leaking into Christianity, and we have this responsibility to be the broadcaster, the heralder, as Brother Heiner talked a couple of weeks ago from the rooftop, saying, you think you can see, but you really can't. And you need the power of the Holy Ghost to open your eyes. You can't open men's eyes. You can't make people to see who think they can already see. It is solely the power of God. It's no different than when Jesus had his encounter with Peter in Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. I don't have the ability within myself to convince people that think they can see that they're actually blind. I don't have the power within myself to open their eyes so they can turn from darkness to light. That's not me. I don't have that ability. But his Spirit radiating out of me, his Spirit imparted by my words, by the laying on of hands, by the ministry that proceeds out of my mouth and my spirit, has the ability to do that work. You believe that tonight? Why don't we stand together? Would you pray one more time with me? Many of you, I know that some of you have family members who maybe once walked in truth and blindness has fallen upon their eyes. Darkness has begun to surround them, and maybe they think they know truth now. They think they're walking in truth. Would you pray right now that the Lord would use you as a vessel for his Spirit to flow through you so that you can, by the help of the Holy Ghost, open their eyes to bring light to where there is darkness? Maybe you have coworkers who believe they're in truth and walking in truth. Would you pray and ask the Lord right now to use you as a vessel to bring light to darkness in every situation that you encounter? In Jesus' name. Father, you see my family members, those who believe they walk in light but are actually in darkness. Father, those of my family that are blinded but think they see, give me the grace, give me Holy Ghost empowerment, Father, in every encounter. Let your word speak through me, Jesus. You see my every encounter with coworkers. You see my every encounter with customers. Let every spoken word of my mouth bring light into darkness. Let it shed revelation by your spoken word through me. My mouth, your words, Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, right now, as we hear and repeat your word, let it bring revelation. Let it bring understanding of the darkness and the blindness. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, use every vessel in this room right now. Use every individual in this room right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just offer up some praise for a moment right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you brought light to my life. I thank you that you called.